Well, thank you, ladies. I appreciate this trio of ladies singing these songs for us during this Christmas season. They have a great harmony together, and I really am grateful for the three of them doing these each week for us. We've been in this series called The Songs of Christmas, and we're using some of our favorite Christmas songs as a framework to not only talk about the story of how Jesus was born some 200 years ago, but why it matters to us today. What's the meaning of Christmas? What biblical truth can we learn in these songs about Jesus and what Christmas can mean to us? And we've talked about O Holy Night and O Come All Ye Faithful. And today we're going to talk about the only Christmas song that we'll be sharing in this series that does not begin with the title of O, okay? It's one of my favorite Christmas songs, Away in the Manger, which the ladies just sung. I love this song because when I hear it in my head, I hear it as being sung by kids. I mean, anytime you have a kids' Christmas program, right, and there's a manger scene in it, it seems like they always sing this song. Let me give you just a little bit of context for this. It, for many years, was known as Luther's Cradle Song because it was thought that Martin Luther, the great German Protestant reformer, had written it. And Richard Hill, in a comprehensive study of the carol, suggested that Away in a Manger may actually have originated in a little play for children to act out, or a story about Luther celebrating Christmas with his children that may have been connected to the 400th anniversary of the Reformer's birth in 1883. But in the mid-1880s is when the song began to come about and people began to sing it. And while its authorship is a bit cloudy, its impact is not, because there's something about imagining Jesus born in a manger. I mean, how many of you have a manger scene amongst your Christmas decorations? We do at our house, and it helps us to be reminded how God stripped himself of all his glory and was born in the lowliest of places. It shows us that none of us are too low for his grace. None of us have been born into too humble or too low a station in life that he didn't come for us. Now, there's a phrase that's used over and over in this song that I want to focus on today, and that's the phrase, the little Lord Jesus. Did you know that 740 times in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as Lord? In fact, I want to look at probably one of the most quoted verses from Luke's gospel that deals with the birth of Christ and show you that at the very first mention of the Savior's birth, we see him called Lord. This is Luke 2, 8 through 10, and it's in the King James Version because that's the way I memorized it as a kid. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. At the announcement of his birth, it's established from the very beginning that Jesus, the Son of God, is the Savior of the world, and he is Christ the Lord. So what does that mean to us? That Jesus is Lord. What does it mean in everyday life? What does it mean, you know, to my marriage? Or what does it mean in my dating relationship? What does it mean for my parenting? What does it mean in how we spend our lives, how we spend our time, our money, or how we think, or how we manage our emotions, or how we view other people? How does him being Lord impact what I think about, what I say, what I do? What does it mean to make Jesus your Lord? Well, the Greek word that's used here is the word kurios. That's the word for Lord in the Greek. This means master, possessor, and disposer of something. The owner, the one who controls. Now, for many of us, that word control, to be the controller, is going to be a challenge. Because if Jesus is the controller, then he's got some competition in you because you like being in control. Thankfully, I don't have a problem with it. I'm not a control freak whatsoever, not a bit. Just as long as everything goes my way and everybody does what I say, I don't have a problem with control, right? That's the way most of us are. But I think a lot of us do have a problem with control. You can ask Luann about me riding in the car with her while she's driving. I have an issue with trusting her driving. There are stories I could tell, but I'm not going to do that because I want to have a Merry Christmas. The root of it, although, is I just struggle with letting her be in control and trusting her. I mean, nobody drives as well as I do, right? That's the way most of us think. You like to be in control too. Whether it's, you know what, I want my day to go this way, or I want my spouse to do these things this way, or I want my kids to do what I want, I want my coworkers to do what I want, I want our Christmas to go a certain way. I mean, boy, that's one of the things about Christmas, right, is it's so chaotic. But we all have this very picturesque view in our head of how things should go, right? How we'll all gather around the Christmas tree and everybody be smiling and happy and no one fighting, and we'll read the Christmas story from Luke 2 and everybody will listen intently and angels will sing and we'll open presents orderly. You ever tried to open presents orderly with little kids? And we'll have trash bags so that we don't lose the gifts in all the wrapping paper, and everyone will love what they got. They'll love the color they got. They won't complain about it. Then the relatives will come over for Christmas dinner and we'll all get along. Nobody will bring up politics, you know. Nobody will bring up anybody's failures from, you know, divorces or marital problems. It's all going to be perfect until it isn't. And then, you know, no one listens to the Christmas story. The kids are fighting and touching one another and everything, and people are disappointed with their presents. I wanted a different color. That's not the right size. And, you know, the kids, they're just going to town. They're going crazy. Oh, and then the relatives come for Christmas dinner. And it's more like a bad scene from Christmas Vacation, you know, where the lights don't work, the cat gets electrocuted, and then you have relatives who act like Cousin Eddie. We get frustrated because we're not able to control it. I talked to somebody the other day who just talked about a relationship in their life, and one of the greatest frustrations is that they have no way to control. They don't even have a say in what goes on. That's one of the biggest issues I think that we have with this pandemic's control. I don't want to wear a mask. I want to be able to go where I want to go and do what I want to do, and I don't want the government, the CDC, the county health department, I don't want anybody telling me where I can go, what I have to wear, where I have to stand. I don't like the fact that church has suspended in-person services. I don't want to quarantine. All this makes me feel helpless, powerless, and out of control. We hate that. We fight against it with all our might because we want some measure of control in a world that seems out of control. It's been that way since the Garden of Eden. I mean, the very issue of the Garden of Eden, where God put restraints on Adam and Eve, came down to control. Came down to who was Lord, who's going to be master, who's going to call the shots, who's going to, you know, who's going to be the one who's in control here. That's what the devil tempted Adam and Eve with. He didn't tempt them with an apple or a fruit or whatever it was that tree was. He tempted them with control. Are you going to let him call the shots? Are you going to believe what he says? You need to look out for number one. He knows you'll be like him if you eat from that tree that he's forbidden you to eat from. You can't trust him. It's fake news. He's got an agenda. He doesn't want you to be in control. He's manipulating you. Don't you want to be in control? He still uses the same tactics today. Only we're easier than Adam and Eve. We're born selfish. We're predisposed. He still uses the same tactics today. Only we're easier than Adam and Eve. We're born selfish. We're predisposed to want control. We're born into sin, and early on we begin to demand that we be in control, that we be allowed to do what we want, when we want, and how we want. I mean, anybody got a teenager out there, right? And teenagers, you know, you just come to this age where you just want to make your own decisions. You want to take some control of your life. We want to be Lord. And here's the thing for all of us We spend our lives not only trying to be the masters, the rulers, the decision makers of our lives, but we want to control other people's lives as well in order to get what we want and what we need. You know, if I need something for you to help me get my way, then I'll work to control you. I'll manipulate you. I'll use our relationship to get what I want and what I need. And so we go around in our world, little masters of our own lives, trying to control life, trying to control others, trying desperately to control the circumstances we find ourselves in so we can get what we want. And really, really, isn't our desire to be in control at the root of sin in our lives? I'm the authority. I'm the king of my life, of my world. I say what I do and don't do, not God. And just like Adam and Eve, we bite into life in defiance of who is going to be, well, God. But hear what the angels said. Here's what they sang. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, they declared, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior, a rescuer, a deliverer. Christ the Lord, a master, the boss, the ruler, not just of this world, but of you and me. He came to save us from ourselves, from our need to have to control, from sin. He came to deliver you and I, and in Jesus, God is establishing himself as Lord. He's going to make a way for our sins to be forgiven by dying on the cross, and then he's going to demonstrate his power over sin and death by raising Jesus from the dead and installing that same power in us so that we can choose to follow him, to let him be master, the boss, the ruler, the controller of our lives, the Savior and Lord. So what does it mean to make Jesus the Lord of our life? Well, let me say this. Technically, we don't make him Lord. God did. In Philippians 2, Paul tells us that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a done deal. He's Lord, and it's just a fact. What God is inviting us to do is to surrender his lordship. Well, what does that mean? We surrender to him as the supreme authority of our lives. We surrender to the only one who really is in control. We surrender to the Lord. Well, what does that look like, that surrender? Well, there's two different levels of it I find these days. One level is what we'll call the partially surrendered life. Now, I'm afraid this is where the majority of American Christians live. We believe in God, but we live as if he doesn't exist. It's the partially surrendered life. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus asked his disciples one day, he said, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Why are you giving me lip service? I don't want lip service. I want life service. I don't want a bunch of talk. Just don't talk the talk. I want you to walk the walk. Why is it you're calling me Lord and then you do whatever you want to do? This isn't a game we're playing. You need to get this right. You live like you are in control, even though you say I am. Why do you say I believe Jesus is Lord, but I'm not going to trust him with everything in my life? By the way that we live, it's just literally like we're taking the Bible and it's like we're almost ripping it up, isn't it? I mean, here's one of my Bibles. And, you know, we know, like, when we read the Bible, right? We know, like, you know, when it comes to relationships, I know that I'm supposed to pray for those who hurt me and bless those who persecute me. You know, I know that I'm supposed to forgive, but you don't know what they did to me. And there's no way I'm going to forgive, even though the Bible says it. Just forget that. And so we just, like, let's just tear that page out of the Bible. What do we need that for? Or, you know what? I know I'm supposed to trust God. And I know I'm not supposed to go crazy in debt, you know, where it hinders me from helping others. I know I'm supposed to give 10% to the church, but you got to be kidding me. 10%? That's the stupidest thing ever. There's no way I'm ever going to do that, man. Forget that. Oh, you know, and I know when it comes to my time and the way I live, I'm supposed to give God my time, you know, and I try to give him, you know, my Sundays, you know, when I'm not busy and, you know, when it's not football season, the kids don't have conflicting activities or the relatives aren't in town. I know I'm supposed to honor the Sabbath and all of that. But, you know, as far as the rest of it, I'm not giving him my Friday nights. I'm not giving him my Saturday night. I mean, man, those are mine. I mean, just absolutely forget that. I'm not doing that. I know I'm supposed to judge people. You know, I'm not supposed to judge people. And I know I'm supposed to give them the love and the grace that he's shown me. But I don't like that. I mean, you know what? It's easier to see people through my eyes, through my judgments, through my political prism, through my prejudices, through my experiences, than it is to see them through the eyes of God. What are you talking about? I'm not going to give love and grace the way the Bible says I should, because let me tell you what, that costs way too much. Get that out of here. There's tons of things we rip out when we look in God's word. Marriage for a lifetime? No. You never met my spouse, did you? I'll be lucky if this goes 7 years. Speaking psalms and spiritual psalms, spiritual songs, and let no corrupt things come out of my mouth. Let me tell you what, there's sometimes when I'm about to explode, and the only thing that keeps me going is if I can say a curse word or, you know, maybe be sarcastically funny. I can't lose that. I'm supposed to give the thirsty a drink and feed the hungry and clothe the naked, you know? Well, listen, I got where I am by myself. They need to be more responsible. There is no compassion for that kind of stuff here. Now, some of you are probably highly offended that I took pages of ink and paper and just ripped them up. Let me tell you, that doesn't offend God. What offends God is the way some of us rip up God's truth every day with the way we live our lives. Don't call me Lord and then go and just do whatever you're going to do. Why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. I'm going to read it from a new version of the Bible, the PSV, the partially surrendered version of the Bible, okay? Trust in the Lord with some of your heart and lean on your own understanding. In some of your ways, acknowledge him, and you can make your own paths straight. Now, if you're kind of new to church and all, I want to say to you, that's not a real version of the Bible. But that's how a lot of people live a partially surrendered life. But Jesus is no part-time Lord, and he doesn't want part-time followers. When you come to him, he asks you to give your whole life to him. He says, you want to follow me? Take up your cross. If you want to find your life, then lose it. You want to give it away, surrender it. You come under the lordship of Christ. He's the supreme authority. He's the one who says what's right, and he's the one who says what's wrong. He's the one who is the controller, the Lord of all, and we come under his lordship. And this isn't like it's a pick and choose buffet at the Church of the Golden Corral. Hey, this thing, man, you know, it's like, hey, I'll take some of that keep me out of hell stuff. Give me some of that. But that surrender and dying to yourself stuff, you know, give your life away stuff, you can keep that. But Jesus is serious. Why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say to do? The partially committed life still leaves you on the throne and keeps you from embracing what Jesus came to do, to be your Lord and Savior. But there's another level of surrender. It's called the fully surrendered life. This is all in. I mean, this is not just, you know, this is not just being a Christian when it's convenient, not just when it works for us, you know. But this is full on, hold nothing back. My life does not belong to me, but belongs to him kind of commitment. I love the way Paul phrased this in Romans chapter 14. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Our life is not our own. And we surrender to his lordship, to his control. When Jesus shed his blood and died for you on the cross, he offered this free gift of salvation. It's by grace that we are saved through faith. It's not by work so that no man can boast. It's the gift of God given to you. But salvation costs you, while salvation costs you nothing, it costs Jesus everything. And when you say yes to it, you are surrendering the rights to your life. You belong to him. You surrender to his lordship. Your life is no longer your own. You're no longer the controller, the Lord of your life. He is. That's why I'm so afraid. And what I see so much today is this kind of casual approach to Jesus, kind of like Ricky Bobby praying to a 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus, the little cuddly, cute baby Jesus. Yes, he's that. But he isn't just the little Lord Jesus baby in a manger. What you need to understand is he's the soon returning, conquering, reigning, ruling, supreme in authority, coming back with a sword with a name written on it, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he means business. Don't just say, Lord, Lord, and then do whatever you want. He's supreme, ruling, reigning, King of the universe. And our lives, if we're Christians, don't belong to us. They have been bought with a price. Our lives belong to him. Let's go back to the real Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. That word submit in the Hebrew means to recognize, to admit, to acknowledge. It means to know intimately. I think the reason so many of us do not surrender some area of our life to the Lordship of Christ is because we don't know him intimately. To know him intimately is to trust him. I know he loves me. I know he cares for me. So I acknowledge that he is Lord. To know him is to surrender to him, because he's the one who controls and I'm not. He's the one driving. He's the one in control. And he's a relational God. We're going to talk next week about how he is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And he is Emmanuel because he wanted to reveal himself to us. He wanted to show himself through Jesus Christ. And it's all about relationship. I mean, when someone once asked Jesus, like, what's the most important command? Jesus said, well, you know, it's a relational command. The most important one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. It's two sides of one coin, but it's all about relationships. It's a fully committed, wholly surrendered life to him. It's not a buffet of picking what I like or what I want. I'll take some of this and I don't want any of that. It's a relationship of trust. Because I know him, I know he loves me. I trust him with all of my heart because he's given his life for me. And so I will follow him and I will surrender and let him be Lord. And if there's an area in your life in which you're not surrendered to him, probably the reason is because you're not as intimate with him as you should, as you can be, as he wants you to be, is that you don't trust him with all your heart. There's some pause, some hesitation, some pulling back where you want to be in control and not trust him to be in control. The tragedy here is that there's many people who are under the illusion that things are cool between you and God because you joined a church a lot of years ago, or you were baptized, or because you try to be a good person or read your Bible or give something in the offering, or, you know, because you say God bless when somebody sneezes. But the reality is there's a lot more to Christianity than that. Forgiveness involves surrender. Surrender involves letting him be Lord, not just saying it with our mouths, but living like he is in control. There's a verse of scripture in Matthew 7 where Jesus is talking about the end of time. And he says this in verse 21, "Not everyone who calls me out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and we cast out demons in your name and we performed many miracles in your name. I think in our world today, it would be, you know, didn't I go to church every now and then? Didn't I give some money to the guy ringing the bell with the kettle outside the grocery store? I mean, didn't I help the lady cross the street? Wasn't I a good person? I mean, I was better than Bob down the street. Didn't I do all these good things, Lord, Lord? But I will reply, I never knew you. Says, I never knew you. We're not in a relationship. You gave me lip service, but you didn't trust me. There's no intimacy. You called me Lord, but you didn't let me be Lord. You didn't let me control. You didn't follow me. You didn't surrender to me. See, there's a really big difference between calling Jesus Lord and surrendering to his Lordship. It's not a game. He's not a part-time Lord, and he doesn't want part-time followers. He gave us the free gift of eternal life, and the only reasonable response is just to surrender our lives back and say, here's my life, this one that you bought and paid for, I'm yours. Here it is. Not my will, but your will be done. You're in control. My actions, my thoughts, the words I say, the things I think, the way I see others, the way I see my world, the way I treat others, I surrender it to you and your Lordship, and I'm going to trust you with all my heart. I won't lean on my own understanding, but in all of my ways, I will submit to you and let you make my path straight. I want to pray with you this morning. And as I do, I just want us to take a moment. And I just want you to be very open to what God might show you this morning. And prayerfully ask this question, what have I not surrendered to the Lord? What area of my life am I still trying to control? What area am I unwilling to give to God? Now, it could be any number of things that might be on your list. But, you know, for some of you, maybe you've trusted God with your life, but you don't trust him with your kids. I had a lady tell me once that, you know, I love the Lord and I'm giving him everything. But boy, when it comes to my kids, I can't release my kids to him. I'm in control. I got to be in control for my kids. It could be your future, man. I've got this lined up and I got that lined up and that's what I want and this is what I want to be and this is what I want to go and this is what I want to do. I was at that point in my life. One of the things about going into ministry was just surrendering all my plans to him. You know, and some of us, we've got to surrender our career and our jobs and we've got to surrender our marriage, all the plans that we've made. And, you know, God, I just, you know, I give that to you. But for some of us, that's a challenge. It could be a relationship. It could be a friend that's dragging you down. It could be someone who tempts you to be unfaithful in your marriage. It could be someone who's drawing you away from God rather than drawing them towards God. But you're struggling to surrender it. You've never laid it down. You've never said, God, here, you take control of this relationship in my life. Because I can't handle it. I can't deal with it. I need you for you. You're the one calling shots. It could be a lot of different. It could be your finances. Could be in your giving or your tithing, your stewardship. It could be in certain attitudes or beliefs or words or thoughts. What is it today? What is it that you've not surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Father, I pray that you would speak to us in a way that only you can do, and that there would be lives and relationships and families and marriages that are transformed because of the goodness and grace of your Son, that we would surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ today. Father, I just want you to take my life. And Lord, I just want to live it for you. While you're praying, those of you that are Christians and you want to live a fully surrendered life, maybe you just say, Lord, here's this area of my life where I'm only partially surrendered. Here's this room in my house where I've kept the door shut and I've kept you out. Here's this area of my life that I've wanted to keep for me and to keep you out of it. Here's this area where I've wanted to be the boss. But God, today I realize that you can't be a part-time Savior and Lord. And so, Lord, today I confess before you, and just get real specific with it here this morning. This relationship, this fear, this thing, Father, I just name it right now. This thing that I've been unwilling to give you. And so I give it to you today by faith. And God, I'm just gonna surrender this to you. Here's an area I'm partially surrendered. I'm half-hearted. I'm lukewarm, and I don't want to be anymore. I want to be fully surrendered to you. I want by faith to give this to you today. Lord, be Lord of my life, my entire life, and especially this thing that I've held back from you. God, I thank you today for those who have listened with their hearts sensitive to what you've said to them. And I take great confidence that we are able to fall under the conviction of your Holy Spirit, even if it's just online, that you're working right now through the words that are spoken. And I pray, God, right now by faith, we would allow you to empower us. We would surrender our life to you and give it to you. While you're still praying, there may be somebody here who just, maybe you're just unable to give him your life. You've never surrendered to him. But maybe listening today, you realize, I need help. I'm lost. I'm struggling. I can't do this by myself, and I need God in my life. I want you to know his free gift is yours today. And I want you to know this morning, you can just surrender your life to him and say, God, here I am. Be the Lord of my life. Let what Jesus did on the cross count for me. Forgive me and turn me around. I repent. I'm tired of going my own way, and I want to go your way. Help me, Lord, today. Father, I pray for every person today who wants to become a follower of yours. They're tired of leaning on their own understanding. They recognize their need of a relationship with you. And so, God, right now, as they ask you to forgive them for their sins, as they speak to you and tell you they want to repent and turn around and they want you to be in control of their life today, that Father, today you would pull up beside them and walk beside them and infill them and indwell them today. Forgive all their sins, Father, as they submit their lives to you, and lead them, Father, we pray, in straight paths in the days that are ahead. Lord, work and move in their life as they become believers today, as they become followers of Jesus. In your name we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen to me. If you prayed that prayer about inviting Christ into your, you know, become a follower of his and inviting him into your life and for him to be Lord of your life today, I would love to know. I'd love for you to message me by, you know, either you can leave a message, whatever social media you're viewing this on, whether that's Facebook or Vimeo or YouTube, or you can email me at the church, or you can message me in Facebook, or just let me know. I'd just love to know, because I'd like to be praying for you and want to encourage you and lift you up. If today you're a follower of Jesus and you surrendered a significant area of your life that you've struggled with and you've let him be Lord, I'd love to hear about that too. That's one of the things I miss on Sunday morning, is that out in the hallway after service, we get a chance to talk and share with one another what God's doing in our lives. And so please let me know, communicate with me in some way. The church board is going to meet on Monday night, and we're going to see where we are. Our county is still suffering greatly from COVID, and so we'll be making a decision about whether we remain online only or whether we go back, or when we may go back to in-person services as well. But we'll let you know after Monday, probably on Tuesday. We'll send out an email and post something on Facebook. But I want you to know that we are more than just a group that meets in a building on Sunday morning. The work of the church goes on, because every day you come in contact with somebody. Every day in our lives, in our marriages, in our relationships, at work, you know, whether it's classmates or whatever it may be, wherever we are, we need to shine the light in the darkness. We need to let people know that Jesus is Lord of our lives, and what an awesome, powerful, incredible thing that it is. Hey, if you need any help, you need anything, you just holler at us at the office and let us know. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know, and we'll be praying for those. We have a lot of needs in our church right now. And so, listen, I hope you have an awesome, awesome week, And if you're, you know, if we're back next week, great. If we're not, or if you're unable to attend, hey, love to see you back here next Sunday morning. Don't forget our Bible study that we're doing through the Bible app. We're continuing on through it. And so it's not too late to join in there. And Luann and I will be online a couple of times this week on Facebook just to kind of be praying for you and journeying together. God bless you. Have an awesome week.